This is the sugya of Goig u'Magog. The sugya of Goig u'Magog in times of Yimos HaMashiach.
With the word eschatology?
No.
Oh, see. The
study of the end. What's it called?
Eschatology.
So where does that word come from? It's a Greek word? The end of days? Okay, so this is all the secrets of what's going to happen at the time of the end of days. Paraklat Milches, Pasikafa, Hidrasha Milaylemar, Ben Adam, Simpanecha El Goig, Eretz Hamo Goig. Set your face towards Goig, the land of Hamo Goig. Nisi, who is the king, or is the prince, Roish. There are two words here which are unusual, two words which go together. Nisi Roish, which seems to me like there are different types of princes. He is the chief. The chief prince of Meshech, the Suval, of these two nations, Vinovelov, and I want you, Yecheskel, to deliver a message concerning this king called Goig. Okay, let's do another pasuk. V'yamarta, and you shall say, Koyamashem Elokim, Hinni Elecha Goig, I am against you, I am going to rise up against you. Nisi Roish, again, Hashem repeats, who are you, Goig? Nisi Roish Meshach Visuval. Okay, so this is just the opening of three psukim to enter into the world of Goig u'Magog. Let's see right away the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David says, Pasik Beis Goig. So he says, this is Kain Shem HaMelech. This is his name. Now that, like we learned yesterday, every nation to some degree, the one who is in charge has a generic name. Paro. Talmai, right? Paro was the name of the king in the ancient times, and then we learned yesterday in the Radak, in that in later times in Jewish history, the name of the king of Egypt, his name was Talmai. Whatever your name was, if it was John Doe, or it was Chaim Shmerel, when you were appointed to become the king of Egypt, so you got a name change. And your name change was Talmai. Or in ancient times, it was Paro. What?
Talmai is Talmai.
Ptolemy, fine. Okay, in Hebrew it's Ptolemy, it says that. And in English it's whatever they call it. Okay, and what about or Paro or Pharaoh? Okay, we learn also yes, when it comes to the Pelishtim, it was Avimelech. The king of the Pelishtim was always called Avimelech. And we discussed this idea that the name of the Jewish king, at least in times of Mashiach, is David. Maybe your name is Chaim Kohn, but if you become the Melech of a Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden your name becomes David. Your name, you have a name change. So it seems... It appears that Goig is the same thing. Goig is not necessarily his name. It's not what he got. So it says on his social security card, his driver's license. Goig is a generic name of the king of the country. The country. And if you are the king of this country, you're what?
Like a title.
Not a title. It's like Paro and Talmai and Avimelech and David.
It's like president.
Well, no. President, that's president. You still call president Donald Trump.
The pharaohs had names like Ramses.
Paro Nichol. Paro Nichol.
Unique to a certain country.
Okay, fine. Maybe you want to say it's a title. Okay, whatever it is, but it's the name that is used. So therefore, it doesn't necessarily mean this. Well, this was just his name on his driver's license. This is the name of the leader of the country. That's what it says in the Mitzudos. He learns Kain Shem HaMelech. Now Hamogoyik. Now Hamogoyik is a very funny word. There's a Heha Yidia, and the pasuk cannot be translated literally. So he says, and then it goes on to say Meshach Visuval, really three nations. So the Mitzudo says, what are these three nations? I'm sorry, what am I doing over here? I'm reading the Mitzudo Seal. I read the Mitzudo Seal. Let's go back to Mitzudo's David. Pasuk Beis. El Goig Eretz Hamogoyik. Milas El Mishameshes Bishtayim. The word El has to be repeated invisibly. Ki'ilu Amar, as if the pasuk says, speak El Goig, and speak El also to Eretz HaMogoig. So there are two different things. There's the name of the king, and there's the name of the country. The country's name is Mogoig, or maybe it's HaMogoig with the Ha'idiyah, and the name of the king is Goig. Obviously, the reason why we're calling him Goig is because he's the king of the country called HaMogoig. Okay, let's go further. This is Siroish. He has two different titles. Kafal Hamila B'Shemos Nifradim V'Chein Admas Afar. The land. Those are two words which mean the same thing. It's repetition. Okay, you have different times. Yeah, you repeat expressions. Someone once told me a whole collection of Yiddish expressions which are like doubles. He's a...
Doiv Ber.
That's like a translation. But like the different expressions, when you say something in Yiddish, and basically it's just repetitive. A person is a... Adam Gadol Agroisin. Something like this is an expression. You're an Adam Gadol, and a Groisin is an expression, something like that. It means you're a great person. Why are you repeating it? There was a person who once gave me a whole long list of these type of expressions. I guess you have a precedence. You have a... In Nach. Okay, let's go further. Nasi, it says of Yalgoik Omashu Nasi, he is the king. Gam al Meshech Visuval. So this person, this Goik, is the king over three nations. He is the king over the land called Hamagoik. Is the Hey Hayidia part of the name of the country, or is it just a prefix? I don't know, it's not so clear. Okay. Right. What? You could argue the point. And then he's also called the king of Meshech and the king of Suval. Okay, let's go further. We'll see a lot more in a few moments. Let's just run through some basic ideas. Hinni Elecha, Hineani Efne Elecha Ata Goyk. Hashem says, I'm now going to pay attention to you. I'm now going to focus my attention upon you and use you as a pawn to bring about an event. Let's see Rashi. El Goyk. Rashi is like the Mitzudos, Kain Shem HaMelech. Hamagoig, Shem Huma, it's the name of the nation. Notice we're not discussing territory. We're discussing people. We're discussing the person and the nation. Where do they live? The region doesn't say where the region is. Kamod at Omar, Goimer, Umagoig. So here we have here in Gracious. Goimer, these were the sons of Yefes.
Right.
Okay, the children of Yefes. So that means they're not part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is from Shem. Mm-hmm. And here we're dealing over here with a group of nations that are from Bnei Yefes. And they are Goimer Umagoig, so he seems to say that the idea over here is irrelevant. If he's comparing it to Mogoig and we drop the hey, so basically the hey is a prefix, it's the hey Hayidia. Okay, next, let's see the Radak. Let's see the Radak. The Radak, Pasik Beis, Ben Adam, El Goig, Eretz HaMagoig, Mogoig, Hoya, Mibnei Yefes. The Hei Meshech Visuval. Likewise, these are three nations who are descendants of Yefes. Uve Omroi Hamagoig behei Hayidia, the Ein Hey Hayidia ba al Shem HaAdam. So, why is there a Hey Hayidia? The Hayidia only refers to a person, not to a nation. Evsha Shuhu Shem Hayachas. He's telling over here very chiddush is that the Hayidia over here refers to these are miyuchasim. Okay, there's no psoilas. There's no taruvis. That the people of Magog, they're pure descendants of Yefes. There's no intermarriage. Now that's interesting. Okay, that's what Hamagog, as we says. She'evshah shushima yachas ki harishon hoya ben Yefes ha'om hayoytse mimenu nikroim Magog shemis yachasim el Magog. The descendants who come from him al Magog harishon v'chein shevet hamenash. We find this in Chumash v'al shem hayachas. Due to the lineage, Tavai Hei Hayidia. He seems to be saying is that it's a pure lineage. That's what he seems to be saying. You would expect over 6,000 years of world history, whatever it is that there would be a Tyrubis intermarriage like through every other country. So it seems the Hei Hayidia is coming to emphasize that the lineage is better than everyone else.
It's more than a little bit of a stretch.
Okay,
it's
I agree.
The Magogites.
Right, absolutely. So, but he's making. I'm just repeating what the Radak. The Radak is making an interesting point. Radak over here is saying the word Hamagoig. It's Shem Hayachas. There's an emphasis on their lineage. Look, there's Meshech and Tuval. Why don't we say the Hameshech the Hasuval? Why don't we go focus on the Hayidia in those countries? Obviously, there's something different. There's something different about Magoig.
They're subordinate to the leadership.
They're what?
They're subordinate nations.
A Meshech and Suval.
Yeah.
Okay, alright, okay, so the one that's in the lead is Magog. Magog, and therefore we give him the idea. Okay, the Radakus adds his point of view with the idea. The Goig Shemelech HaMelech Aleihem, the El Oymed B'Mokam Shnayim. It's as if the Pasuk says, Hinovei El Goig, El HaMagog, El Eretz HaMagog. I want you to go and to prophet, give over a message to the king, and also give over a message to the nation of HaMagog, and tell them what's going to be. The El Embag Mishnaim Kiilu Amar El Goig V'El El Eretz Hamagoig. Hey Nisi Roish Meshech V'Suval Goig Hu Melech Magoig Umelech is also the king of Shtei Ha'umo So'ela. You know, these very wealthy people that sit on the board of every organization you've ever heard of?
Yeah.
Right? So that's exactly what happens going over here. On the board of every, and even, they don't even know themselves which world. Like, you know, it's very, very funny dinners. They have all these organizations that make a dinner, and who's on the committee? Who's on the committee? All these people. These people, I know for a fact. I didn't even know I'm on the committee. They just put my name. They put my name there. I guess it adds prestige. Maybe someone will give money. So over here it says that he is the king over these nations. Uve meshach v'suval uve amar nesi roish hu inyan kafel b'miloy shaynes v'samuch al samuch al samuch. Okay, so this is just, I don't know what that means, this samuch al samuch, this just means this end, it just end repetition for the purpose of emphasis. Different examples where you have two words which mean exactly the same thing, it's just there for added emphasis. And putting over here is that this person over here, Goyki, is a very powerful person, he controls Mogoyki, he controls the nations of Meshach and Suval. Okay, there is no more, now let's take a look over here. Yep.
Just add a note that he brings from the living Torah, okay. This is purely speculative, where the author conjectures that Magog was a Teutonic people living north of the Holy Land, which in itself, you have to wonder. This people is variantly identified as Germanians, Goths, Scythians, and Mongolians. He quotes also the Book of Jubilees, which locates north of the Black Sea.
Okay.
Again, speculative.
Speculative. Okay. Okay. Now let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim opens up the sugya very nicely. Very beautiful Malbim. Okay. Let's read the Malbim inside. Yeah. The Malbim says Simponech al Goy Kvar Hispar Lamala Kinibe Yecheskel. This really is a continuation of what it says in Perek Lamed Beis. There we elaborated very much about the Melchama between those who embrace the ideology of Yishmael versus those who embrace the ideology of Edom, of Esav. In other words, the Crusades. The Crusades are ongoing. Okay, the Crusades have not really ended. They started in 1096, and they're still very much a part of this world. Ad Hayom Hazeh, terrorism is all about it. In this world, there is a war going on between Western civilization and Islam for dominance over the world. It's a dominance between these two. These two represent those who embrace Esav, the ideology of Esav, and those who embrace the ideology of Yishmael. And really, pretty much, the Malbim is saying that's really what the Milchemes Goyg u'Magog is all about. And the Mincha Gedoyle, he's really, really explicit. Okay, the Malbim talks a little bit in more abstract terms. You don't have before you the Mincha Gedoyle, but he really goes to town. He talks about the Notzrim. He mentions the word Notzrim 100 times, and it talks about the Yishmaelim. And he really elaborates much more on this. And then he has a different twist. But the ideas are pretty much the same. Let's just see what the Malbim says. The Malbim has some very important points. So going one more time, Pasuk Beis in the Malbim. Siv nechol goy kvar nispar lamala nibe yecheskel shebeachres hayamim yilochamu kol ha'amim saviv liyushalayim. We're going back to Perek Lamed Beis. The entire world will assemble to a world war around Yerushalayim. V'yiyu haloichamim mitzad echad. Who are the people who are fighting? Who are the cast of characters who are going to be fighting in this war? So mitzad echad, Mitzrayim, the Ashur, the Elam. Who are they? They represent Yishmael. They represent those who embrace the ideology of Yishmael. Shehem Yishmaelim, who have a bris milah. The Aloichami Mitzar Hasheni, who was the other, who's waging war against them, that's what it's over here, is Meshech. And the other side is Mitzar Hasheni Meshech, Visuval, Unichsiche Edom, and the leaders of Edom, Umalche Hatzavon, the kings of the north. And in other words, these are Esav. So he is learning Goik, Mogoik. Meshech and Suval are representatives of Esav. Okay? They're the ones who do not have a bris milah. And the other...
Which is interesting because they come from Yefes.
They come from Yefes, and so therefore what?
Today is...
Yishmael comes from Shem, no? It just comes from Avram. He's from Shem, so... Okay, but they have embraced...
And Edom also.
Edom. Okay, but it's not. It's a question of who's taking sides. Okay, Inachanami. These are the Yefes and maybe Chum, whoever it is. But he makes it very clear. The Malbim is that these nations, Meshech, Suval, and Magog, they come as representatives, the modern day reincarnation of Esav. Who are they going to go to battle against? Mitzrayim, Elam, and Ashur, who represent Yishmael. They are the ones who have a bris milah. The Mulim versus the Arelim. This goes back to the theme in Perek Lamed Beis. It's all the same. Now it says they're going to go to war. There's going to be a major war that's going to take place in Yerushalayim. Now, one of the questions that is everyone talks about is this war, the psukim say they're going to come up to Yerushalayim. It appears from the psukim they're coming to battle Klal Yisrael. It's not so simple. Okay, we have to see a little bit more. I just want to just lay out the yesodos. Everything is very, very vague, and it's a very, very big mystery. One of the more simpler interpretations is that Yishmael, who is here going to be Mitzrayim, Ashur, and Elam, they are going to, they're the ones who are going to wage war against Klal Yisrael. Goig is coming to defend Klal Yisrael. It's almost like today, what's going on today. Today, America, Edom, they're trying to, you know, step in and try to prevent it from being a war between Israel and the Arab states.
At least us.
And then what it's going to happen is, again, Edom is going to come in to save Klal Yisrael. And once they're already there, they're gonna turn around. They're gonna have a change of heart, and they're gonna say, you know what? Instead of saving Klal Yisrael, we ourselves will go to war against Klal Yisrael. That's one very, and that's really what's mashmash the psukim. These nations of the Yishmaelim, they're going to go to war. Edom is saying, hey, you can't go to war against the Jewish people. How dare you? You can't go. We need a democracy in the Middle East. We need their allies. So they come in to save us. And they go to war against Yishmael. They wipe out Yishmael. And then after they finish wiping out Yishmael, they say, you know what? Once we're here already, it's such a nice country, let's take it over for ourselves.
But isn't that the Christian future? Don't they think that
the second coming can only be the first the Jews have to come. Birthright, right?
It doesn't accomplish that.
Right, they take a lot, they give a lot of money to Jewish causes.
Never,
but not anymore. They say they stopped taking money. They stopped a long time ago.
What?
A lot of backlash from Christians. They still take money from Christians? I don't think they take money anymore. I really don't take anymore. I read they stopped. That's what I read. Maybe I'm mistaken. In the beginning.
Online
yeah, what do you say? Take your money. Money is money.
Take the money now. We'll decide later who's right.
Okay.
That's right.
It's a very big misalignment. Okay. So, I had a discussion with an organization. Someone I know who works in an organization. So I told him, aren't you eligible for government money? You do such amazing work. He told me, I says, you got to get a grant. You got to get money from the government. They're drowning in debt. I said, go to the Aguda, go to the OU, and they'll help you. They'll teach you how to get money from the government. That's what they're there for. So he says, no, we don't want to take money from the government. We don't want. I said, why not? Why not? If you're eligible for money from the government, why not? You're not going to survive. No. I said, who? So anyway, a whole interesting discussion. I said, who? The Rosh Shivas told you this? He said, no, I didn't discuss it. He told me everything he does is Das Torah. Everything he do there, they ask the Gedolim what do. They told you not to take money from this. No, we didn't discuss it yet. Okay. But then later he admitted to me that he actually did want to try to get a grant and it didn't go so well. All right. Anyway, let's go further. I was actually reading about Misaskim. It's a very fascinating article. I was trying to catch up with some reading from before Tishrei in Ami magazine. Is a fascinating article about Misaskim. And they're an amazing organization. People only know what they do for the chairs, right? The chairs
right.
And the that's the smallest thing that they do. They do much more incredible things behind the scenes you never know about. And they're drowning in debt. They have a budget $2 million budget a year, and the government doesn't want to give them any money. They give in the last 15 years they're in existence. They got one grant from the government. The government just doesn't want to give. They're very well connected with the government, but The government doesn't just give away money. No, they do a lot more debts. It's amazing things that they do. Okay, let's go further. So over here, the Malam goes on to say we have a world war. Let's go further. So it says here this world war that's going to happen around Yerushalayim is going. They're going to kill each other out. Now he says the next thing. The Chazal kiblu sheshloisha pa'amim yovei goig al Yerushalayim. Now he's putting a medrash. It's a very important medrash, which none of the farshim actually say that. The only one I saw who says is the Malam. Is that there's going to really be three wars. There are going to be three wars in Eretz Yisrael. And Upo Be'er Shnei Pa'amin. If we read between the lines, the Malbim says, in this parak, you're going to see there are two wars. There are two separate wars presented in Parak Lamed Ches. So you have to pay attention to that. Where is the third war? The third war is in Zechariah. There's only one other Navi that this mentioned Milchemes Goyeg Umagog. Not Yeshaya, not Yirmiyah, and none of the Treosser other than Zechariah. Those are the only two references in Nachtu Milchemes Goyeg Umagog. Now there is a third reference, and this everyone quotes this, and that is, those learned Daf Yomi had this not so long ago, Eldad Umedad. Okay, Eldad, Yoshua says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem gave over the Ruach, and Yeshua says that there are two people being misnabim b'machne, and he says to Moshe, kill aim, wipe them out, destroy them. So the Gemara says, what exactly were they prophesying about? So there were three opinions in the Gemara. One opinion was that when Moshe meis, Yeshua machnes. The second opinion was the Slav. And the third opinion was Milchemes Goig Umagoig. Okay, so that's a very important thing. We're going to come back to this later on. This Yesoi. There are three individuals, three different tekufas, three different individuals who say over Nevuah concerning Milchemes Goyeg Umagoyeg. Eldad Umedad, Zechariah, which was, when was Zechariah? He was way back, right? Zechariah, I'm not even sure. Zechariah was early, he was an early prophet.
The end of the last prophets in the Anshekinesis.
No, he wasn't, he was the last.
Chagai
is Harim Malach. Okay, so you're right. So he was from the list. So he was even later than Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. Was he? Maybe. Later than Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. So you have Yechezkel and you have Zechariah. So maybe we'll come...
Not necessarily by the chronological order to Treosah.
Right, okay, fine. But okay, so that I think this is a very important point that each of these two different... each of these Nevi'im represent different Tekufa. And anytime you're dealing with Yemos HaMashiach, it's very important to have an appreciation of where the perspective of where they're coming from to express what Yemos HaMashiach is all about. Okay, so here he says three times, Upo Be'er Shnei Pamim, V'apam Hashlishes Hispa'er B'Zechariah in Perek Yudalit, V'Goig, V'Chein Eretz HaMagoig, Lo Yodanu Ata Mihem. The Malbim says, we do not know where this nation is. Who we are referring to? Rakafi Hamavoshu Nisi. All we know is that he's the king of this place called Meshach and Suval. All we know about them is Haim Mibnei Yefes, the Einam Nimoilim, and these represent Esav, because they do not have a Bris Milah. Going back to Paraklamid base, the Nimoilim versus the Arelim. The Haim Yisoiru Biachris Hayamim, and they will be aroused in the end of days. This war will only take place after the Kibbutz Golios. After the Jewish people have returned to their homeland, that's when this war will take place. The Yeshu B'Shalva, and they'll be in peace. The Jewish people will be living in peace. Everything will be fine and quiet. And then, all of a sudden, a world war will erupt.
This is before the arrival of Mashiach?
Luchar before. It's after the Kibbutz Golios. There's like you can say that today. Today we're reaching a point where there are more Jews living in Israel than there. There the majority of the Jewish people. Where is the majority of the Jewish people? So some want to say it's already approaching the point where it's going to be. There are 8 million Jews living in Israel, approximately. Does they say no? Six? Okay, I don't know. How many Jews are there in the entire world? No one really knows for sure about it. They say almost 15 million Jews all over the world. So once you already get to eight. You already have the majority of the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael relative to the rest of the world. Okay, so it's a very interesting point. V'yeshu b'shav lov aleim v'zeyye al yidei his oros me'im Hashem. And this will come through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arousal. Hashem is going to cause all of these events to come about. Okay, so these are the basic yisoides. We're dealing over here with a world war that's going to take place in Achris Hayamim. It's going to take place after there's going to be a kibbutz golius. Everyone's going to be living there at Yisrael. And then suddenly there's going to be an eruption between those who are the Nimoilim versus the Arelim. The Nimoilim represent those who embrace Yishmael's ideology versus the Arelim, those who represent Esav. Meshach Tuval Goig, Meshach Tuval is according to the Malbim is Edoim, Esav, and the other nations of Ashur, Elam, and who else to leave out? And Mitzrayim are the Yishmaelim. And there's going to be some type of war, and there are going to be three of them. Three of them. And these three wars, two are predicted over here in Sefer in Yecheskel, and one is discussed in Sefer Zechariah, so there is no overlap. There is no overlap. And unlike other things in Nach, where you do have overlap, you have same prophecies referring to the same period of time from two different Nevi'im, each one in their own signun, in their own style. Here, there is no overlap, the Malbim says. It's different wars. And then the Malbim does not get mentioned. There's another prophecy, and that is, what about Eldad Umedad? And Talmud Moshe Rabbeinu, that also has to be discussed. Now, there's another point that I saw at the end of the Mepharshim, towards the end of the Milipari, and I think it's the Mitzvah Gedoyla. He's something very interesting. Maybe it was someone else. Not maybe it was Mamari Kara, or maybe it was Rabbi Eliezer Mibal Gansi. I don't remember where I saw this. He says something very interesting. He says that the galus of the Aseres Hashvatim and the galus of Yerushalayim of Yehuda took place in three stages. Each one was three. So the galus in Sancheriv, when he exiled the Aseres Hashvatim, it was in three waves. First, Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvein, Chatzis, Shevet, Menashe, and the Eiver HaYarden. That was wave number one. Wave number two were the Shvatim living along the Mediterranean, along the Mediterranean, the west coast. And then was everyone else. That was the most violent. The third wave of exile was the most violent. Was the third wave. Yerushalayim also took place in three different stages. First was the Golus of Yehoyakim. And then was the galus of Yehoyachin, and then was the galus of Tzidkiyahu. Okay, there were three different stages. And the galus of Yehoyachin, which was 22 years before. I mean, it was approximately 22 years before Miles, when Nebuchadnezzar first rose to power. He took with him Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were taken down in that first wave of Golus in the time of Yehoyakim. Then after Yehoyakim died, he appointed Yehoyachin, he took down with the 10,000 people, the Chorosh Vehamasker. That was the second wave of Golem. And then the third was the Churban, 11 years later, the time of Tzidkiyahu. So he makes a parallel. One of the Farshim makes a parallel. The time of Mashiach is also going to be an attempt, three different attempts. Just like it's the Ma'isa Ovai Simin Labanim, there are going to be three attempts of Goig u'Magoig to drive the Jewish people out of the land or whatever is going to happen at this point in time. It's also going to be in three different stages. Ma'isa Ovai, there are parallels in Jewish history. Okay, now with that in mind, let's go further. Pasuk Dalet. What happens next? Over here, so there's an elaboration. This first, a very big elaboration. Exactly, because Baruch Hu is going to inspire a Magoig to go to war. Vishoy vavticha. This is a hard word to translate. Everyone struggles. It basically means I'm going to inspire you to rebel. I'm going to inspire you to do something that you, under ordinary circumstances, would not do. I'm going to cause you to rebel. Rebel against who? Rebel against the world. Rebel against Yishmael, to go to war against Yishmael, and then Vinosatich Yishaya. No, Yishaya is talking to Magoig, to the king Magoig. Yecheskel is talking to Magoig, to Goig and Magoig, and Hashem is saying, he's saying to them in Hashem's name, I'm going to influence your heart, just like you have a Yechabed Hashem as slave Paro. Lev milachim biyad Hashem. I'm going to plant some seeds in your heart to inspire you to do something that under normal circumstance, ordinary circumstances, you would not do. If you would be left to your own devices, you would sit home on the couch and watch television. You would not be interested in doing this. Some reason, there's something supernatural that I'm going to plant in your mind to inspire you, to wake you up, to arouse you, to do something which is irrational, to pick yourself up from the end of the world and to march all the way to Yerushalayim, to wage war against the infidels. It sounds like the Crusades, right? What are they thinking? They're out of their minds to go march 3,000 miles? It was a suicide mission. A suicide mission to go march 3,000 miles to go to fight in Yerushalayim? Yet, this is a Meshigas, Hashem put in their mind. Well, that was 1096. So here we're dealing over here with the time of Mashiach, and you can't say the Crusades was Gog Magog, because one of the main conditions that's explicit here in this pasuk is that this war will take place when Yerushalayim has been settled. In 1096, there were no Jews living in Yerushalayim. Maybe there were a few, there were a handful. There was Mamasha, a few, and they were all killed, they were all brutally murdered, they were put into a shul, and they were locked, the shul, and they burned down. I think there were 500, something like that. Not more than 500 people living in the entire Yerushalayim at that point in time. So you can't say that the First Crusade was a fulfillment of Gog Magog, because no one's living there. There was just a pocket, there's a handful of people, number of people living there. Here, the Pesukim make it very clear, this is going to happen at a time when Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael has been settled by Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this is a different kufa. Hashem says, I'm going to arouse you to rebel, to go to war. But then it says something very... Then the pasuk contradicts itself. That's the whole nature of Nach. If we notice, there's always contradictions in the same pasuk itself. Then it's, V'nosati chachim bil choyecha. I'm going to put a hook in your cheek, which is going to force you. It's not going to be done with you by your own will. The first expression, V'shoivav ticha, has a connotation, you're going to want to do it on your own. You're going to be filled with a rotzon, with a desire to march, to go to Yerushalayim and go to war. Okay, it's not normal. Why did that happen? You were inspired for some bizarre reason which cannot be defined. But still, when everything is said and done, you're doing it with your own desire. Then the pasuk goes on to say, it's not going to be your own desire. I'm going to put a hook in your cheek. I'm going to drag you against your will, just like you drag an animal to do something that it doesn't want to do. So what is it? What is it? Is it being done with will, or is it being done against your will? Obviously, there are two different elements. There are two different dimensions in this milchama of Gog Magog. There's going to be a dimension where they're going to be forced into war against their will. They have no choice in the matter. On the other hand, there's going to be a dimension in this war that they're very happy to participate. Okay, so this is part of the complex nature of what exactly is taking place here. I'm going to take you out of your land, your little corner of the world. Your army, susim, horses, uforoshim, chariots, horsemen, levushei michlal, kulam. They're all dressed in their michlal, means in their full uniforms, regalia. Okay, regalia. Their army, with all whatever they got, with their uniforms and all their medals and all of their armor, whatever they got. Lashon of kol, michlol comes from the word kol. Everything that you have, you're going to pull out from your reserves, all of your weapons and all of whatever you have. Kahol rav, a very large assembly. Tzina, with shields. Umogain, various types of defensive means. Tovseh charavah is kulam, all holding swords. So the tzina, the mogain, is the defense. And the Taivsei Charavos is the offense. Okay, so this is going to be a full-fledged battle. Kulam, every single member of your army. Pasuk A, Poras, Kush, Ufut, Itam. Who's going to be with you? More nations. Goig and Magoig is not going to be alone. And Tuval and Meshach and Goig is not going to be alone. Poras, Kush, Fut, Itam, Kulam, all of them, Magain, will bear hold shields, Vikoiva, and helmets. Pasuk Vav, Goymer, another nation will attend. V'chol Agafecha, all of the surrounding suburbs, all of the lands that surround this nation called Goymer. Based to Garma, Targum says Germania, which we like to translate as Germany, which not everyone is so happy with, but that's one interpretation.
Germanic tribes. There was no Germany.
Of Yaakov Emdin, right. So whatever it means, fine, whatever it means. Based on the time over here, it says Germania, whatever this means.
Northern Europe.
Yarkesay Tsafa, the northern side. Is that Russia? The USSR? Whatever this means, Tsafa, and the called Agov Pov, all of its satellite states. Amim Rabin, he talk many nations with you. So these have a long list of nations that are going to be part of the coalition, part of the alliance with Goig. All of them represent Esav. All of them have one thing in common. They do not have a bris mila, at least according to the Malbim. They do not have a bris mila. These are all going to be the nations which represent the descendants of Esav, those who embrace the ideology of Esav. They're all going to rally under the banner of Goig to come to Yerushalayim. On the one, it's going to be with will. On the other one, it's going to be done against their will. Let's see the Mefarshim in Yisrib Sukkim, Pasek Dal, and the Mitzudas David, Vishoy Vav Ticha. So Mitzudas says this word means Etin Belibucha Liyoy Shoy Vav. What is the word Shoy Vav? He translates Umoyreid. It basically means a person who rebels. It's another, it's a synonym for rebelling, to rebel.
Al Shabbat.
So that's must be where it came from. V'etein chachim bilchayecha, I will put a hook in your cheek, lim shoich aischa, to pull you al yadam, through this hook to force you into this war. Kiderech shemoyshchim hachayos el mokam hanir, it's like you pull an animal to its desired location. Ritzon eloymar, a'ir libcha el hadavar, I will arouse your heart el hadavar. I'll go and I'll bring you out of your place with men and many horse and horsemen. You'll have beautiful clothing. You'll hold out the swords. All of these other nations will be to assist you. Kulam magen v'chayva, kulam yavo b'magen v'chayva. Pasuk vav yakis et safon hayashim b'tfas safon miravutzad amim rabim itach yavo imcha, they will come with you. Okay, that concludes the mitzudos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi v'shuvo v'shovav ticha e'ese oischa shayvav. I will make you rebellious. Okay, you have a French word which means
m'chol. Yeah. Yes, unvoize. To unbridle, so he says it means unbridled or backsliding.
Unbridled, okay. And did he go?
Like shuvim, shovavim means.
Oh, backsliding. People who, he explains that he's very precise.
Yeah,
Rashi
says, "Yeah, all right, go ahead."
Rashi says, "Kol ha'holich bishrirus libo." Anyone that goes in the way of his heart without any restraint, anyone who goes unrestrained, nikra, is called a shovav. A person went shayvav, he went in a wayward way, according to the way of his heart. The heart takes you, the heart tells you to do strange things. The mind is what restrains you from following your base nature. The heart is the base nature.
To me, like the word means, I will unleash.
Unleash you.
Undisciplined.
Undisciplined, unleash you. You're not going to hold back. In other words, your mind will tell you it's not a good idea, this is not the right thing to do. But your heart says, no, I have a tithe, I want to do it. And you're going to be unleashed, the mind will not operate, and the heart will be free to motivate the nation to do absurd things. Kiben ha'holich shayvav b'derech, like a child who has no seichel, does not have the intellect, he does whatever his heart wants. Next words in the Rashi, v'nasati chachim bilchoyecha, derech chayol lehoitzia b'chachim b'shibilchoyecha. It's the way to pull out an animal by putting a hook onto their cheek, and you pull the animal by the cheek, by the hook. So Rashi learned that it's not a stira. I told you it's a stira. Some of the farshas, I saw that. Now, that was not my idea. I saw that somewhere over here on the page. But Rashi seems to say that it's not a contradiction. The real two go together is that my influence basically will be
as if
you've been forced. My influence will be so powerful, it's as if you have no control over your mind. Hashem does that sometimes. It's as if I have pulled you from your land, Lovoi, to come al Eretz Yisrael.
That early on in Sota, Rashi says, why do we allow him to put his wife on notice without any agent? So he says, God comes to him in a dream to help him out, to give him an idea that his wife is doing something she shouldn't be doing. God, if you're a tzaddik, God is going to put thoughts in your head to make you react.
Okay. Hashem influences your mind. Hashem puts a machshav in your mind to make decisions. It's a very interesting thing. You have that very interesting idea that Hashem puts in your mind what the decisions which affect your entire life. You have to live with those decisions, and if you're a zoiche, Hashem will be there with you to put that machshav in your mind to make the right decision. V'chol agafecha, v'chol siviveha, all of the surrounding sides will come with this nation to assist in this major world war. Let's see the Radak. Starting with Pasuk Galid, v'shoiva avticha, so the Radak also struggles with the precise translation, so he says it means ashabercha. The ikar shorish is to break. Now in the bottom line it means the same thing. It means you're going to be aroused to rebel, aroused to go to war. And the breaking means you're being broken out of your restraints. Kimin kishivavim ye egel shem. Everyone is quoting another pasuk. Everyone is struggling. Everyone is trying to find a precedent in Tanakh. You notice Mitsudos and Rashi and now the Radak, they all quote different psukim. They don't quote the same pasuk. And each pasuk, the word has a different connotation. And here he's saying, I'm going to break you out of your restraints. V'chem b'divrei Rabbi Seinu Zal. Dvarim shemeshoivivin liboy shalom. Something which breaks a person's heart. Now, how does that fit into the context here? With the amroi vishoy vavticha roitzalaymar ashaber libcha. I'm going to break your heart. Ashetisave meod lotseis mimkoimcha lalvo el eretz yisrael. I'm going to break your heart. Your heart tells you not to do it, and I'm going to break those restraints to inspire you to go to eretz yisrael. Uvo ze al derech. We find the precedent that Kodesh Baruch Hu influences nations to do things that are not to their benefit. And the example was Sisra. Sisra was the general of Yavin, the Sar Tzva of Yavin. So Kodesh Baruch Hu influenced him to do something foolish, to bring his army near the Yam, and there he drowned. They went into the Yam, and there they all drowned in the sea. V'yes richbo v'yes hamoyne v'yaseh zeh akel yitzbrach kadeh sheyeh noida b'chol ha'amim v'nis mikdash bohem. Why is Hashem doing this, causing these nations to come to Yerushalayim for a war? Hashem wants to make his name known. Hashem wants to do a miracle in order to make it known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of this world. B'achris hayomim v'nasati, I will put chachim b'lchoyecha al derech mashal. Limshech oischa kemosha oisim ledog, like you do for a fish. And notice that's not what it said in the other mafarsh. They say an animal, chayos. He all of a sudden talks about fish. So where does fish come into the picture? Melchemes going to Magog, Melchemes Leviathan. You want to go talk about the machlum? Yeah, this is another idea. It says that Laslav is going to be a melchem between the Shor Habor and the Leviathan. So maybe the Shor Habor is Goig, and the Leviathan is Magog, or the other way around, this world war, the battle between the Shor HaBor and the Leviathan is just a marshal for the two sides of the battle of Goig, which is the king of Magog, and the other nations that are going to battle against them. Now,
I think maybe it's more the fact that Hook is a fish hook.
A fish hook, right.
He's going to hook him. He's going to hook these folks into,
into war.
Into war.
So if you want to say this idea, then all of a sudden the word the fish hook makes a lot of sense. If indeed it's a Shor HaBor, wild ox,
lure him
into war. But then it makes a lot of sense if you want to go say that these nations they are going to be the fish. They are the Leviathan, and the Leviathan is a fish. So a fish, you have a fish hook to draw them into war, and Klal Yisrael will feast. The end will be that this fish will die. This fish will be slaughtered in battle, and Klal Yisrael will basically will eat the fish. What does it mean to eat the fish? It means they'll live off the spoils of war. Okay, the Muhammad's Goig Magog, on the one hand, parallels the Luchama between the Leviathan and the Shor HaBar, and the end is we're going to be Nene from the Or Shel Leviathan. The Or Shel Leviathan is the spoils of all of the nations of the world. Okay, that is just an idea throwing
also,
out.
Also, a parallel to Kriyas Yamsuf, right? And what happened to the Mitrim were lured into
the Yam, into the Yam.
And
the spoils, exactly. Kimitsula Shein Bodogim, the Bizas Yamsuf. So all of these things are very mysterious. Okay, the next words of the Radak, everything is self-explanatory. And then he quotes a Targum. I don't know what he means. V'yonasam tirgim v'shoivav ticha v'ashad linoch. Reitze loymar afate ois, I will entice you. Another translation. Everyone for Mepharshim. Tzudos, Rashi, Radak, Targum. Everyone has a different twist. It all means basically the same. They're all very similar, but they're a little bit different. Each one has a little different connotation. Afate oitzchal, I will entice you. Kidaguma shel ki yifate, are yishadel. If a man entices a woman, do an avera, and the word there, the targum is yishadel. It's the same word over here. It means Hashem is going to entice these nations to go to war in Yerushalayim. Levushei michlol kulam b'chol minei zayin. They'll have every type of weapon. Okay, so he's giving them more of a twist. It doesn't mean clothing, because today, you know, the soldiers today, they don't wear such elaborate clothing anymore. It's not like the olden days. You see, in the olden days,
in North Korea,
they're loaded up with.
In North Korea,
they still wear fancy. What?
They are fully loaded with all kinds
weapons,
of
right? So it's interesting with the Radak says because you know in all the, you know, the colonial wars, you know, Britain, the United States, you see all these they're all dressed up in this beautiful elaborate uniforms. The French Revolution, throughout history, soldiers had these really beautiful uniforms. Today. It's boring. Camouflage. They look, you know, they look like sand. They're meant to look
but
like.
They do have dress uniforms as well.
They never wear them. They don't go to war. They don't go to war in them. They don't go to war in them. Right? They don't go to war in them. It's true. They have dress uniforms, but the dress uniforms are not as elaborate as they were in the olden days. Right? It's not like it used to be in the olden days, and they don't go to war in them. So therefore, the Radak already is taking note of modern warfare in modern times. Modern times, they go in pajamas to war. That's what it looks like. So what does it mean? Weapons that we got today. Today you get all the high tech toys. Okay, every soldier has, it's unbelievable. He has $1 million worth of toys on his body. 75 pounds worth of toys, and ultra high tech, and you name it, they got it. So that's what it means over here. So the Radak was ahead of his time. He already predicted that it's not the clothing; it's the weapons. Go further over here. Different b'chol minei zayin. Next word is kahol rav tzinu mogin. Tzinu mogin with different types of shields. Per pasakei poras kula mogin v'koyva. B'mogin v'koyva v'koyva milarak. It's the grammar goymer b'chol gopecha. This nation or soloimar adas goymer. The assembly of the nation goymer v'chol chaylo yisach. All of her soldiers. V'chen kol agapov. Kol chayoloitzlov, all of her soldiers. Chayin tigun b'yonasan, mashir yosa, their legions. Beis togarma, kumo beis Yisrael, v'yonasan tigun medinas germamia. Okay, so either that means Germany or means some type of ancient tribe. V'chayin amir abasim zal masach ziyoma goymer ze garmamia shol edoim. Shol edoim. Kidas and Yaakov Emden. Yaakov Emden says refers to the origins of Germany. Kidas Hatargum. Yaakov said Tzafon Kol Elu Bnei Yefes Shech Nemesoif Tzafon Agabe Agape Togarm. Okay, so this is the basic.
And what's the rest of that sentence in Yoma?
Yeah.
That they were split into many duchies and various things, and if they ever united, they could destroy
the world. Okay, so we're very lucky that they did not need
to
unite.
They did.
Okay, yeah. I mean, look, we're talking about Los Lobos. All right, you're right. Okay, let's now go now further. So here we've been learning, everyone here has been learning up for the war. Pasuk Zayin. Now we go further. Hashem says now, He coined the Hachain Lecha. Two words. Hikha means prepare yourself, train, go for training. The Hachain Lecha, train others. That's the specialty of the United States. they train other nations in warfare. They don't want to do the work themselves, so you know, nation building. You train, but you know, the United States is spending more money training the Iraqi soldiers than they you know, they give them all the weapons. What? That's right. Hikoin means goig. Train yourself. Train your military. Prepare. V'hachein l'cha. Prepare others. Spend a lot of money. Give out weapons to other nations and train them how to engage in warfare. Ata you v'chol you v'chol kelachol your assembly. Hanikolim alecha, which join your coalition. V'hayisa lohem l'mishmar. Now here is a very interesting term, which is a subject of much discussion. And you shall be for them as a mishmar. Now this can mean, before we see inside, this can mean many things. This can mean simply is that defense. Is that you have to, before you engage in, go on the offensive, make sure you have shields. You set up your iron dome, you set up your arrow, you set up all of your defensive shields. You have to be prepared. The first thing you have to, before you go to war, is prepare a defense. After the defense is secure, then you can go on the offensive. That's the civil meaning. A deeper meaning is, here's where we go into the hashkaf, exactly what's going to happen to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is you are going to Yerushalayim to defend Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's a very powerful interpretation of the pasuk. Hashem is speaking to Goyg. Goyg, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to arouse you to wake up and to go all the way to Yerushalayim. Why? Because in Yerushalayim, there's another war that's going on. The Yishma'elim, Mitzrayim, Ashur, and Elam are waging war against Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim is under threat. They're on the verge of being squashed. So I'm going to wake up the nations of Edom to come from the end of the earth with all of their weapons and all of their partners. V'hoyiso lohem, you shall be lohem for who? For the Jewish people as a mishmar, a defense from Mitzrayim, Elam, and Ashur, from all of those who says this. I believe it's the Mincha Gedolah.
Oh, okay.
It's not the Pshut Shel Mikra. You're right. We only read it inside. That's a whole new twist on exactly how it's going to play out. And the reason why it's so appealing to me, it resonates with me, is because that's really what's happening today.
Right.
Okay, that's today. We're now at a time, you cannot deny it's Kibbutz Golias. Okay, just today, what they are in the headlines say, 266 people are making Aliyah today. You know what that means? Isn't it amazing?
America.
Nefesh b'nefesh. 266 people are getting on a plane, they're not coming back to America. That's it. These are families. Each one is talented. These are young people. It's unbelievable. Go back 100 years ago. One person will make Aliyah. I will be like, wow. How many people made Aliyah when the girl wanted to make Aliyah? They sell you Yerushalayim. You know, with a handful of people. Dealing with mamash, 5, 10, 20 people. 266 people, families? It's like, it's mind-boggling. How much talent they bring to Eretz Yisrael. And in 50 years from now, they will expand to the thousands of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It's unbelievable. It's just not to be believed. It's Kibbutz Golias today. So, and today, who are we under threat from?
More than that, from others.
What?
More than from the U.S.
France,
other countries,
Venezuela,
and so on.
Absolutely, from all over the world. Kibbutz Golias. And who are we under threat from today? Not from America. They're not harming us. The Arab nations. The Arab nations. They're the ones who are trying, making trouble. And who's coming to our defense? America. Edom. The Western civilization. They want democracy in the Middle East. They're coming to our defense.
Not Europe. Just
no. V'hayi solachem lemishmar. Lemishma, isn't that exactly what's happening with Zman Hazeh? And they're coming, mamash, from the ends of the earth, from the far ends of the earth, and they're coming with the best technology the world has to offer to keep Israel one step ahead of the game. So this interpretation is very appealing to me. But you also, every so often, we always get shaken up when things don't go so well between America and Israel. Like, who knows, they can just turn on us in the very last moment. That's really what it says over here. Goygo Magus, that's exactly how he learns. That's what's going to happen at the end, is that they're going to save us from the Yishma'elim. And instead, in fact, they're going to fight with the Yishma'elim. But then at the end, there's going to be some Chas V'Shalom, and we have to see exactly how it plays out. They're going to turn on us. And then Ein Lanu Lishoin Ela Al Avinu Sheva Shemayim. So it's there's a lot of depth and many layers of interpretation, but this is very powerful what it says, V'hoyisa Lohem L'mishmor. Let's see inside this pasuk, maybe we'll find a where it says that idea. I'll read it inside as well. Let's see pasuk Zayin in the Metzudot Stava first. Zayin is he coin v'hochein l'cha. He coin atzmecha, train yourself, v'hochein l'cha cherim, and train the other nations. They don't know anything, they don't know the Aleph Beis warfare. You got to spend billions of dollars sending them weapons.
If you have armies of more than one nation, like we've seen in this century, then you have to have a lot of coordination.
They're joint exercise. Every week we're in the news that there is in this country this joint exercise, war games,
like
and who's participating. And it's always covet who gets to participate. If this nation doesn't get to participate, it's an insult to that country, right? So you hear this all the time. So hachin v'hachin l'chachin v'zesh amar ato v'chol ki olecha hanesafim olecha le'ezra v'hoyilham l'mishmar. So here he learns very simple mitzudos. What do these mysterious words mean? Ki shemira sachayil min hanezek mutol al roish hatzava. Goig, you're the head of the coalition. You're the head of this coalition. You are responsible for their security. So you have to install these satellites, and we hear it in the news. I don't even know the names of these satellites, which are a defensive shield for your people before we can proceed and go on the offensive. Rashi says, he coin v'achin l'cha, he coin ata, v'achin l'cha chel acherim, and prepare others to prepare for war. He coin, which means his domain. His domain means prepare. That's really what it means. Domain means make preparations. Next, v'hayis elohem l'mishmar. So here he says over here, interpreted, derech ha-malachim, lo sein slev ala chayolo yisehem, he'och yeitzu, u'lahamid mishmaro shlo yovoi mashchis al chelo balayla. Same idea. It means that since you're in charge, go make sure everyone is safe and secure. It's a dangerous game. Go to the Muhammad, and you can come under attack. Make sure that there are the shmira. No one should get hurt when you prepare for war. Radak pasuk.
Offense and defense. It sounds like.
Well, protect yourself against hail.
How are you going to deploy and how
okay.
you are going to
defend yourself. Fine.
The only thing is that Israel is the only country that has successfully developed a 3-level anti-ballistic missiles. Iron Dome, Arrow, and another one. As a matter of fact, when the thing with North Korea,
they're using Israel's technology.
Oliver North said that they should ask the Israelis to bring him over to defend this.
Right.
South Korea and Japan.
Okay, but yeah. it's But the truth is, there's really a joint. I mean, it's really a joint. I don't know all the details, but it appears that whatever Israel has, America has already. They paid for it, in fact.
Joint development.
Yes and no.
Right. The Arrow is American made. The Arrows, they already have the version 4. Those are like mid-level missiles. I think they're three. They have all three. Those are really the American. Okay, whatever it is, whatever. We're just throwing out ideas. Whatever it is. Let's go further. What about cyber warfare? How do you find it? Isn't that the big thing today? The big thing today is cyber warfare. Okay, that's really where it's all at.
That's right. Okay.
And so where are you going to find it all hinted to over here in these circles over here? I mean, that's really interesting.
Well, they couldn't imagine.
What?
They couldn't have imagined it.
They couldn't have imagined it? Okay, but it's whatever.
Well, that's the defense.
That's where it's all at today.
It's both.
I know.
Okay, let's go further. It was LEDs. They had the lit up, right? The stones lit up. The coin girl had he had LEDs, you know, ahead of his time. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak says he coin vachin l'cha, he coin ata vachin l'cha kol ki olecha l'shlo mishmar. So he writes, "Sheyishmeru oischa eze derech telech v'yelch yimach." So he a little bit different than Radak. He says they should guard you which path to go, and they'll go with you. That's a little bit vague. Now let me show you what I came across of Lemishmar.
I'll tell you how he translates that.
It's the Malm, yeah. What? Yeah.
No, this Radak you just read, right? He said, your assembly will watch you to see in which direction you're going and follow you.
Say it again? You're going to lead them. You're going to lead them, so you're going to guard them. You're going to be for this V'hoyisalam L'mishma, you're going to guard the other nations. Magog is going to take the lead, and you're going to guard them. You're going to guard them, give them direction, give them guidance how to proceed in the war. Now, what I told you is the Malbim. If you look quickly in the Malbim, Pasuk Zayin, V'hoyisalam L'mishma. What is Mertzalayim? V'yata yu tishma oisam me'asois ra. What does that mean? He explains. There's some background that it's not stated in the pasuk openly. And the Malbim is saying, what's going on over here? That the Yishma'elim are attacking Yerushalayim. The Jewish people are living in security in Eretz Yisrael and they're under attack by the Arabs. So Edom is now going to go and rally all of his partners, the coalition. They're going to come to Yerushalayim and you're going to protect them. They're going to get up to defend the Jewish people from the Yishma'elim, the Yahargu Aysam, and they're going to start the war. America, Western civilization, is going to engage the Yishma'elim as a protective means for Yerushalayim, and that's going to start a world war between Edom and Yishma'el. Then the Yishma'elim are going to attack Edom. Counterattack. The Yechedev Ish B'achiv, and there's going to be a war. And then, we're not finished yet. And then when that war is over, who's going to be the victor? Edom. And then what are they going to do? They're going to turn. Look what happened. They're going to turn. As we have to see at the end, they're going to turn on Yerushalayim. Okay, that's all subject to interpretation. So there's a complex sequence of events that are taking place. But the Malbim is saying a fascinating chiddush is that the way it all starts is with Yishmael. They are the ones who are coming to wage war against Klal Yisrael. And Edom is coming to the defense of Klal Yisrael. They come to Yerushalayim with everything that they got. They're there to defend them. And then that escalates into a war between Esav and Yishmael. And then we have to see what happens when we read the Sukkim later on. All right, we have to stop over here. Up to Pasuk Ches. We'll continue this tomorrow.